In chapter 12 of the book of Proverbs, it also says this in another chapter, and I'm thinking it might be chapter 16. Looked this morning and read it again. Chapter 16, that's right. But it says this, in chapter 12 of verse 15 of the book of Proverbs, there is a way. Well, that's not right. Y'all know the verse, I just wanted to read it, and I can quote it. But I want to show you where it was at more than anything, I guess. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. I even had that wrote down somewhere. I've got 16 and 25 and 14 and 12. Does that sound right? And 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And 16 and 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And I read that or brought our attention to it to say that there is a way that seemeth right unto man. The manward side of man. Then over in chapter 3 of Proverbs, it says this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. When you, and we all are witnesses, we know that. We're supposed to be, should be, witnesses for the Lord. And I just thinking about this, and there's a personal side to it. I'm going to kind of look at that side, and that's what we're looking at right now, the personal side of being a witness. I thought about, actually, when I first got this on my heart and in my mind, the Lord laid it on my heart, I believe with all my heart. I thought about two different places in the scriptures. One of them is in Psalms chapter 51. Y'all familiar with that is David. And then the other place is over in Acts chapter 2, I think it is. We're going to look at both those places today. Acts chapter 2. That is right. Acts chapter 2. Let's look in the book of Psalms to start with. Chapter 51. David made a statement there, and that's the reason I wanted to go here first. In chapter 51, we all know this well, how that David had sinned against the Lord. And then here in chapter 51, he comes back to the Lord, says a lot of things. But in the latter part of that chapter, or in the middle part of it, I guess it would be better. In verse 12, he said, "And restore to me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Again, talking about the personal side of being a witness. I believe throughout this book that we call the Bible, it teaches us as God's people in our personal life and our personal witness to be effective, we must be a clean vessel. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's taught in the Bible. I'm not saying we are or always are, but to be an effective witness, we must be. God don't use dirty vessels, unclean vessels. And here we find that I think it's a classic example of how we clean our vessel. I guess thinking again, this now come across my mind, it depends on a lot of different things. But it depends on how interested we are in being a good witness, how interested we are in being a clean vessel. And those two things that I just mentioned, I will say, goes against the grain of man's thinking, of the unregenerated part of man. We talk about that a lot. I don't think we need to talk about it this morning because I talk about it a lot. But there is a part of us that is against God, the manward side. It has to be brought into subjection daily. As I say a lot, the biggest enemy we have, and it relates to this as well as a lot of other things, the biggest enemy we have in being a good witness is ourselves. When I look in the mirror every morning, that's about the only time I look because I see enough then. I see my biggest enemy. Here, and you could just go anywhere you wanted to here in the first 10 or 12 verses of the book of Psalms 51. But David, he had a change of heart. He had a change of mind about his personal life. Now, we can be here this morning. We can be just as saved as we're going to be, ever be. But we can be out of the will of God and be saved. And I will say, if we're out of the will of God, we're not going to be an effective witness. We're talking about witnessing. David said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions." There's another thought about this, and I think about it myself anyway. I guess maybe you do. I don't know. When we come to the Lord, and of course David here is repenting. We know that. Paul said, "I die daily." If you're here today and you don't think that you need to repent as a believer, something wrong somewhere. We do. It's necessary. We have to. And David said, "Blot out my transgressions." I say today, as God's people, to be an effective witness, we need to be cleansed. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin." You say, "Brother John, I've not committed adultery. I've not done anything like that." You better be careful what you say, because that's the way we look at it. God might look at it different. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified thou. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness." Oh, I think about this every time I read this. I think about the joy in the believer's life, how that we have lost the joy of our salvation. I think about old timers that I've been blessed to see and be a part of in the worship services, Brother Rose, years ago. How that people would come to church with a different attitude and a different frame of mind. They come to church to worship the Lord, Brother Lowell. And I'm not saying anybody's here for any other reason today. But you know what? They got an old saying, it shows up on us. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Personal side of being a witness. Must be a clean vessel. Another side of the personal side is understanding that, and it tells us, I think gives us a good sense of that, a good understanding of that in Hebrews chapter 15. And he says this, I'm talking about being a personal witness. For we have not an high priest which not be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in a time of need. I think if we're going to be an effective witness, we have to realize that we have a need. You see the verse that I read over in the book of Proverbs a while ago, it has to do with man's way. And when we're going to be a witness, it's just the way it is, I guess. We have a tendency, when we're going out to be a witness, Brother Steve, we have a tendency, because we have an adversary, we have a tendency to want to do things our way, and want to do it the way we want to do it, and in ourselves a lot of time, and think that we are the most important element of being the witnessed, and we could not be no further from the truth. Because we have a high priest, and we need to understand and realize that we do need his help, and that we are in a time of need. If there's ever been in history, a time of need, surely, as Brother Rose spoke, not just in Washington, by the way, it starts somewhere else. What's going on up there now started somewhere else. It started in the church. It started in the homes. And we have a need today. We need to understand that. And that's the reason the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. It does easily beset us. And I've said this before, and I can't hardly even think about that verse or read it or quote it or anything else unless I think about that, how sin so easily besets us. And I got a thought in my mind one day when I was reading that and studying that. Believers, and it's important that we see this as God's people, if we're going to be an effective witness, especially if we're going to do that. We're not exempt. We're guilty a lot of times of having the idea, since we're saved, since I'm not getting drunk on Saturday nights, or Brother Lowell, if I've not took somebody else's wife or husband, could be either way, or if I'm not gambling, I'm not playing the lottery, and if I'm going to church every month, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if I'm doing a good will here or there, we have a tendency to think that we're doing good. And we have a tendency to think that we can go out and witness to somebody with those thoughts in mind. Just not so. Like I said, how many times, often and often, time and time again, with good intentions, good things have been started and didn't amount to anything. I would say probably be safe in saying more times than not. There's a reason for it. Paul said in 12:1, chapter of Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's fitting that we do that. That's what God said to do. To be an effective witness, we'll have to do that. We can go out here on our own every Saturday, not just every first Saturday. We can go every Saturday. We can go every day. We can go anywhere we want to go. God won't use a dirty vessel. Preaching to the choir today. We think it's all right. We made an effort, Brother Steve. A futile effort. Over in Acts chapter 2, I thought about these two places because I thought both of them was fitting for the thought I had on my heart. Cleansing our vessel, the personal side of being an effective witness. Then I thought about probably the greatest sermons ever preached in the Scriptures on the day of Pentecost. And I also thought about this. Paul, I don't know really how to say this, but he had a different, in his ministry in this particular place, his biggest obstacle that he had, that he was preaching to these Hebrew people. And he was, his obstacle that he had, if you read this and study it, you'll find it to be true that he had to preach against, these people would say, oh, we are the children of Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? They touted David as their king. And you know what? If you think about it, all through Peter's ministry, he kind of had that mindset. He was a Jew, staunch Jew. And even Paul confronted him about that. He had that was an obstacle in his personal life. But here he was having to preach to these Hebrews. And my, how the Lord used him. If you go back on the personal note one more time, think about Peter and think about how he denied the Lord. Think about how when the Lord sent for the disciples, he said, and tell Peter to come too. Can you put yourself in that situation that Peter was in? And I believe, and this is just coming to me now, I believe that Peter probably was at this point, the closest to the Lord that he'd ever been. I believe he was a cleaner vessel probably than ever been. I believe Peter done some repenting, don't you? I think if you study the Scripture, you'll find that to be true. But the Lord used Peter. Now, John wasn't to use Peter. I wouldn't have. But the Lord did. See, the Lord knows all about us. And I'm just of the opinion he knew Peter here and he knew Peter's heart. And I believe that Peter had a broken heart. But the Lord used him on the day of Pentecost. Thousands were saved. On the other side of the personal part of it is this. I just want to notice two or three things here. Chapter 2, the book of Acts, let me read verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, see that? Know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Thank God That's the message. To Hebrew or Greek, anybody else, lost and saved alike, that's the message. Notice what happened in verse 34. He said, they were pricked in their heart. Oh, cross on the other side, from the personal side, is this Godward side. Let's be careful to understand who's doing the work. We're just the vessels. That's all we are. And God does use men to get the gospel out. He does use vessels, but he uses clean vessels. And he said, they were pricked in their heart. I think something happened. You see, on the day of Pentecost, I'm trying to think of this place, but I can't right now. But anyway, when the Lord ascended back into heaven, he told the disciples this. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to send you a comforter. Remember that? Well, on the day of Pentecost, as I taught last Sunday, what God says he does. He sent the blessed Holy Ghost. I've said this before, and I think I'm right. When Christ came to this earth, he came for one purpose. He done a lot of different things. He caused a lame to walk. I believe somebody preached on that just last week. Caused the blind to see. Everywhere he went, he was healing people. He even raised the dead. He done a lot of good things, but he came for one purpose. That was to die. He didn't come to be a great man. Although he was, he came to die. But when Christ died, on the third day, he rose from the grave. He ascended back into heaven. And he took his rightful place on the right hand of the Father. And on the day of Pentecost, he sent back the Holy Ghost. And since that time, until the time that the Lord comes back, we're living in the age the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear, and I think y'all already know this, but we forget anything, Brother Lowell, and I think this is where we miss it at a lot of times, in our witnessing especially. Anything that's done today outside the working of the Holy Ghost is futile. You can take it to the bank. Be careful not to do that. He says they were pricked in their heart. You know why? Because God, the Holy Ghost, pricked their heart. And after they were pricked in their heart, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? To be an effective witness, we must clean our vessel. Once we get the vessel clean, Brother Lowell, we got to pray. We got to go to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. And pray that God, the Holy Ghost, will go before us in every endeavor. Unless that takes place, won't be nothing happen. There can be some false professions, and by the way, we've got plenty of them. I don't know about you all, but I'm liking this. They were pricked in the heart. They said, what shall we do? Look down in verse 41. Then they gladly received the word. See, God's got an order. Thank God, God's got an order. He's got a way of doing things. Not our way. His way, Brother Lord. His way. We are missing it today. One place I'm trying to think where it's at. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. The natural man. I said the natural man. I take that back. I didn't say it. God did. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Does anybody know what else it says? Because they are foolishness to them. Holy Spirit said, can you explain that a little further? I'm glad that you said that. John chapter 3. Talking about being an effective witness. John chapter 3. Y'all know it. He's our Lord Himself. He showed us something here. Nicodemus, a natural man, by the way. The Lord come to Nicodemus by night. The Nicodemus come to the Lord. Let me say it that way. Let's pick it up in verse 3, chapter 3. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the message. Still the message today. Notice Nicodemus, natural man. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Natural man. Natural thinking. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 7, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Verse 8, that's where the emphasis is at. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. You don't have to read out loud, but read this next phrase with me. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Paul writing to the church of Romans, of Rome, chapter 1, verse 15. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Another place, I believe it's in Corinthians, Paul wrote, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing either, dividing asunder, soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. First Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 3, Paul wrote this. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. When I read that, I thought, you go back over in Acts, where was that a while ago? The Apostle Paul, when that young preacher, Stephen, preached, I believe with all my heart that's where he received it at. kind of funny. Paul received it there. But it wasn't unto the road of Damascus to where he was converted. I thought about one other place. I know where it's at. Don't have it down. But Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. And he said this, I came not to you in word only, but also in spirit and the Holy Ghost. It goes on to tell about those conversions at the church of Corinth. Brother Steve, they were true conversions. There wasn't a bunch of people there that got hoodwinked, slipped shut. They is a real deal. Now, I'm not to put her in, not to take her out. Nobody's judge. But it said, I believe maybe in the same chapter, he said he's talking about those people that was converted, and he said, you turned. He turned to serve the true and living God. I'm still a believer of the scripture. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Well, we're out of time, but on our endeavors to be a witness, I think it would behoove us all to understand the true principles of the Word of God about witnessing. And probably above all, Brother Steve, and all of those things, is to take our place and let Him take His place. We're not doing it. It's not us. It's not about us. It's not about Bible Way Church. Appreciate your attention this morning. I hope I've said something that will help all of us.